Well, again, everybody, and welcome back to the Trig Podcast of Joy, the evening edition here on Sunday, July 14th, 2019. Thankful for all that God is doing in my life. As you can tell, I'm putting out a lot of content these days. And, you know, if I was, I don't know, more of a planner, I guess I would space these out or record them all at once and then deliver them one at a time. But it's not who I am. I just kind of go with the flow. This one is going to be called How to Transition from Worship to Lead Pastoring. And obviously, this might not relate to many, many people, but take it more as how to transition from one career to another. So that really is more the topic. How to transition in your career. How to go from, let's say you are a teacher and then you want to be a principal. Or perhaps you are an employee or one of the many, and then you want to be a supervisor or a manager. How do you go from being the employee to boss? And so I want to give you a little bit of my journey, and hopefully you can draw some principles from this. So as I've said here before, I did worship in the church for 20 years or so, and I loved it. Very successful, very blessed by God, both as in terms of work and income and stability, as well as ministry and fruitfulness in the lives of people. Many positive things happen in those 20 years. But all along my life, all along those 20 years, I had felt the call of God to be a lead pastor. I've always felt that call to teach, to lead, to develop others, to lead a movement. And I had many opportunities to do so in those 20 years, but I just didn't do it. Fear, disobedience, maybe I just didn't know what it all meant. I don't know. Who knows? But finally, about 10 years ago, it all began to happen. And so now I've been in leadership as far as lead pastoring the last 10 years. So I want to give you a little bit of a rundown of kind of how that happened. So, first of all, let me start with the things that kept me from making that jump, and I've already mentioned a few. I think that when you're trying to move from A to B, of course you have the financial concerns, right? You have the fear of, well, can I make enough money? Will this move be stable? Will there be a job for me? Am I qualified? Do I have the education for it? I remember even just, a few years ago, talking to a friend about me being the lead pastor of this one church. And the first thing he said, because he had known me, I think, as a worship guy, he's like, are you qualified to be a pastor? I wanted to just slap him on the side of the head. But, you know, that's what people think, right? They immediately think, well, are you qualified? Do you have what it takes? And that's something you have to know, right? You have to know if in your field you have to have a certain degree or experience. But I think beyond all of that, yes, all that stuff is important. You have to know if you have what it takes. You have to be, I hate using the word called, but you have to have that confidence, that resolve, that commitment, that natural like for what you do. I've always loved leadership. I've always loved leading people, teams, and shaping vision and speaking and just what a leader does. I've always loved it. I've always done it with proven results. And so I think that's number one. Do you love it? Do you have proven results? Are you willing to pay the price? Number two is you then have to ask if people are asking you to be a supervisor or a lead pastor or an entrepreneur. Is there a need for what you're offering? If you're moving from A to B, let's say, as in my wife's case, she is in the middle of becoming a principal. Is there a need? Are people calling her back? Let's say she's applying, like she's doing, to different schools. and all these people, whoever does these interviews, are looking at her paperwork, resume, all that stuff. Are they calling her? Yes, they are. When I applied to be a lead pastor these last 10 years, were people calling me? Many people did. Dozens and dozens and dozens of people called me. So that's something you need to look into. If you're trying to move up to a supervisor or manager position, I would say third is beyond, let's say the first one is passion. The second one is there an interest? Going back to my story a bit, when I realized that I had a passion for it and that people were calling me, then I would say third is you need to realize that you're going to have to start at the bottom. When I moved from worship to lead pastoring, I had to start at the bottom. First of all, I was in my 40s. So it wasn't like maybe normally a young 25-year-old right out of seminary would go right into church planting or into being an assistant pastor and then a lead pastor by 30. Instead, right out of quote seminary, I went into worship for the next 20 years. And then it wasn't until my 40s that I switched careers. And I had to start at the bottom, even though I had all these years of experience, etc. But I had never done it. I had done it, but not on paper. I couldn't show that, okay, to my credit, my resume was filled with leadership qualities, building programs, leading people, leading teams, succeeding at things. It wasn't just I wrote song after song and led worship for 30 years. Even though I was a music person, my resume for those 20 years spoke of leadership, not of music. And that's why I stopped doing music, because I knew that I wasn't going to be the traditional music person who writes songs and becomes famous leading worship, or kind of led choirs and did some sort of rotating choir thing or band thing. You know, I remember even a friend asking me, what happens to worship leaders when they get old? And I thought, I don't know, because I'm not going to be one of them. I'm going to move to being a lead pastor. So, but I had to start at the bottom. And so after I finished worship, I had to become, I was at the bottom. I became an administrator for 3-4 years. And even though that is starting at the bottom, but it was so important for me. I learned all about accounting, development, hiring, firing. I mean, it was being the lead pastor, pretty much being an administrator at a church of $1 million budget was an amazing experience. Now, even though I did start at the bottom, I guess you could call it, as I said, I already had a ton of experience leading teams. I could already see those gifts in me even before I was preaching every week. And even though I wasn't preaching every week like a traditional pastor does, I was doing sermonettes every week. My worship leading for all those 20 years was powerful because I was preaching through my songs, not in an annoying way. Thankfully, I had a lot of very, very forgiving and loving pastors who would let me do sermonettes through my worship, which made it more powerful. But it was obvious that my gifts of preaching and speaking were just busting, or I don't know, just bursting at the seams. They were just crying out to come out. I remember one time in Colorado, I had been leading worship there for maybe a couple of years, and I was using all my sermonettes. It was just natural for me. I've always loved the Word of God. I've never been one who just listens to songs and practices songs and leads a band and works on music, which is beautiful. I've always been one who took the songs and then I went to the scriptures and I said, okay, how do I use the scriptures to bring life to these songs? I've always been that kind of person, which is what a lead pastor does. Anyway, so this beautiful man, he brought me, I think it was maybe the last day that I was there, he brought me a gift of a John Deere tractor that I still have in my garage. I love this man. He was a retired firefighter, I believe, or a chief or a captain in the fire department. But anyway, he said to me with tears in his eyes, Pastor Trigg, thank you. What I love most about you were your sermons in the middle of the songs. I got that every week for 20 years. That's an important sign. You need to know that about yourself. if you want to move up from A to B, are you already showing signs of what you want to become? Let's say back to my wife, even though she has been a VP, meaning a vice principal or an AP, they call them, an assistant principal, for these last 4 years, she has been showing signs of being a lead or the principal for years. Just the way she handles teachers, students, even though she's mostly the discipline lady, I just know because I hear her. She thinks more systemically, more holistically about the systems, about teachers and parents and staff. And of course, she always did everything with respect because she wasn't the principal. But she was already showing leadership qualities, even as an AP. And that's the same thing for you. If you are aspiring to move up to the next level, you need to be showing the signs or the gifts now of what you want to be. You can't wait until you get that job to then show the signs or the qualities of who you want to be. I've always been, I always did worship as a lead pastor since the beginning. So the transition was easy, but I had to start at the bottom. And so that would be the third thing. You have to start at the bottom. I would say fourth is sometimes the road to the top is very curvy and confusing. It's, you know, in other words, number four is be ready for a ton of detours on the way to the top. After I led worship, I did about 10 things on my way to finally landing at the right church at the right time and the right fit. I sold solar panels, I helped at camps, I did online marketing, I became an anxiety coach, I did business coaching, I did videos, podcasts to try to build an audience and become a influencer online. None of that stuff worked. I tried to write articles, which is something that actually did work. And all kinds of things. I was unemployed for a year, so obviously that didn't work. But I guess what I'm saying is that the path towards your destiny might include a lot of ups and downs. It probably will. There were some very, very hairy times there, especially when I was without work. I remember this one time that I didn't have insurance. We had, I think, Medicare, Obamacare, and I was in between jobs, and I don't know if I hadn't qualified yet for the next thing. Anyway, I had a horrible, I think it was pneumonia. And I went to the doctor, but I realized that I didn't have a doctor nor insurance. So I went to the corner store, literally, and sat there with a mask and just waiting in line with the best of downtown Long Beach. Came inside the clinic, and the first question the lady asked me is, "Are you undocumented?" It's not a big deal. This happens to many people, but sometimes you might have to do things that you never thought would happen to you. I never thought someone would ask me that. I've always had just good insurance. And then, of course, yeah, I've made $1,000 a month, $2,000, $3,000, $500. You talk about getting creative with your income. Of course, if you are switching from A to B, you may have to give up your ideal to go from making $5,000 to $10,000 a month. That's what all of us want, right? When we switch careers, what all of us envision and dream of is to go from making, $5,000 to doubling your income, right? No one plans on making less money for more hours. No one does that. No one plans on being unemployed when you're moving careers. Everyone wants to plan their lives just right. You're going to leave this job, and then some amazing offer is going to come your way, and you're going to just go and make more money and live happily ever after, right? That no one expects to be fired. I've been fired from jobs. I've been unemployed. I've, as I said, started at the bottom. No one plans for that. But on the way to the top, you may experience these difficulties. And I know from my own experience that they shaped me tremendously. If anything, to trust God, to suffer, to pray, to realize that there are no guarantees, that I'm not entitled to anything. I see many young people these days that feel entitled to more money for less hours. And it's just, I don't see that for me, who's a 50-year-old man with all these degrees and experience, much less for young people that are living in this economic, financial world that we live in, where there are, it seems like, too many qualified people for not enough jobs. That's what it seems like to me. And so you may have to humble yourself. You're not even might have to do it. Life may humble you greatly. You might get fired from a job. You might not make the money that you desire. And in all that, God is with you. God never left me. How did we do it with a mortgage and three kids, adult kids? Well, my wife, thankfully, has a stable job. I also did, as I said, whatever it took to bring an income. And I know that this is just the way that we all do it. This is not abnormal. I know this is just what everyone does. And so maybe the last step is that you have to see each place as a stepping stone. And this might sound controversial, but it really isn't. Especially in 2019, 2020. I could be at this job right now, and next month they could fire me, or I could leave, or I could be there for 40 years. I want to be at every church for the rest of my life. I do. But everything changes. Life changes. Your desires might change. You might want to leave the state. You might want to leave the country. And so nothing is forever, and yet there's a balance of giving your best and giving your all at that place while you're there, knowing that it's all in God's hands, that they could fire you or you might move on or whatever. I mean, nothing is forever. But while you're there, like Jeremiah 29 says, is be fruitful in the land, even if it's Babylon. Meaning, even if you don't like your job, the Bible says be fruitful wherever you're planted. And then after that is where God says to his people, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And that's the promise of God. So when I was at the church at USC, I did a lot of things that I loved. When I worked in Santa Ana at a Chinese American church, that wasn't easy, but I learned a lot. Then I was at a church in Cyprus. I learned a ton. I loved it, but I knew that wasn't for me. And now where I'm at, it's a great place. It's been very hard. But through all of these experiences, these last 10 years since I left worship, every experience has taught me something that I needed to learn. Even the solar panel experience. I worked there for 3 months. I sold solar panels at Home Depots, at Best Buys, all that stuff. And every time I drive by a Home Depot, you know what I think? I think I did that. I had the strength and the courage to do something that I never thought I would do. And I loved it. It was high tech. You know, Elon Musk used to own SolarCity. I think they've closed since. It was fun. It really was. I never drove those cool cars I always wanted to. But I loved wearing the shirts and selling. I loved it. I think I made 2 sales and 2 months, so I wasn't horrible. There were people way better than me at it and all that stuff. But if anything, every time that I drive by a Home Depot or a Best Buy, I think, hey, that was fun. So you might do Uber, you might have to, I don't know, do a food truck, or you might have to clean offices on the side or do all kinds of stuff to make ends meet. You may have to move back home or not be able to leave home. You name it, right? You got to do whatever it takes to survive and to keep your dream alive. And that's back to number one. You have to be honest about your dream. You have to be real about what you really want. And then, yeah, pay the price, start at the bottom. Now, at 50 years old, I find myself doing what I love. Now, I guess maybe the last thing I'll say is getting to your dream job doesn't mean that it'll be easy. For me, I would say I've been at my dream job these last few years, and it's been horribly hard. But God continues to give us his blessing, and we continue to make progress. And so I know that I'm on the right track, because that's something you need to evaluate. Let's say you get to the dream job, right? You get to the promised land, whatever that means for you. And what if you fail? What if it's not what you thought? What if you stink at it? What if they fire you? All these are realities. Will you persevere and keep doing the same thing, or will you go back to Egypt? I've been tempted, not much, but some, to go back to worship. But every time I think about it, even though people that knew me back then tell me, oh, that was so awesome, I have zero desire to go back to worship alone. This is what I'm supposed to have been doing for 20 years. And maybe the last thing that I want to say is, you have to give yourself 10 years to grow into the role. 10 years. People sometimes want to give a job a year before and then expect a bunch of money and success and growth and be supervisor, owner, and stock owner, and buy a house for your parents and all this stuff after a year. Or they bounce around, they quit everything, and especially young people these days, they do one thing for 6 months, another thing for a year. And really, for the boss, I don't really care that much. That's fine. I expect that from younger people. I'm just more thinking about you. Are you going to eventually land the plane and build a career or not? So I think that employers, I know for me, I expect that from most of my employees, meaning they're going to be around for a year or two and then move on. So, but I guess I'm thinking more for the person, thinking, is that really the best thing for you to do? Should you persevere? Should you learn to work through conflict with your boss, or that stress that you feel, or in my case, things with the board, or things with people, or things with whatever it may be, you know, just the tensions of being at that dream job. Once you're there, do you have the guts? Do you have what it takes to persevere and last 10 years? And not last 10 years, but give yourself 10 years to actually see it through. In church, there's, of course, as you can imagine, a bunch of trainings that they do, that different organizations do, on turnaround churches. And the statistics say that it takes 6 years to turn a church around. Two years of honeymoon, 2 years of, oh my God, this is hard, and then 2 years of, okay, I think we can do this. I'm at year 3 of 6. And I think we're pretty much at the, oh my God, this is hard, and just beginning the I think we can do this bit, just barely. It takes time. Are you going to endure? Are you going to give yourself 6 years, 10 years to see something through, and then enjoy the benefits, whether it's influence, money, success, buying that house for your parents, whatever it is? I want a Tesla. I may not get a Tesla for another, I don't know, 5 years. And not from church, but just from maybe writing books, or perhaps being a speaker, or maybe, I don't know, probably writing books, I think, is the only way that pastors can really become millionaires, which is my goal. I'm not going to do it through no church salary, but I know that perhaps writing books, or in my case, perhaps music and counseling and mentorship and whatever, perhaps. But my point is, are you going to be willing to pay the price, to count the cost, as Jesus says, and give yourself 10 years, not 10 months, not 10 weeks, 10 years? And if you do, I believe that God will bless you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. You will get to the promised land in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com, or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.